Well, as we continue on from Romans 5 and 6 and on into Romans 7, just remind you that last week we came to the conclusion, as Steve spoke to us, that we could not possibly go on sinning. We are meant to be and seen to be by God dead to sin. But the trouble is, we still go on doing it, don't we? I mean, sin is still around. And the big question, I think, is why is it and that good people, and specifically good Christians, do bad things? Surely, shouldn't Christians be above sin and beyond it and better than that? But we know we're not. History knows of many Christians who have failed and sinned and who did wrong things. You look back at the Crusades, the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, which gave support to apartheid, or the church support for Hitler in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. I discovered this: the Protestant Reich Church was formed by Adolf Hitler in 1933 by merging 28 regional churches into one church. The founding of the church was the result of work by the German Christians, who had gained a large majority at the 1933 church elections. It was based on Nazi ideas of creating a positive Christianity, namely purifying Christianity of any Jewish elements, including even the Old Testament, an idea which had existed in a small minority of Christian groups since the time of Marcion. But the Protestant Reich Church did so for racial more than theological reasons. It's sad, isn't it? We all know of Christians who have disappointed us by their bad behavior. Christian leader who had dodgy financial dealings, or another who had a very public affair, vicars or priests who have abused choir boys, a bishop who had homosexual dealings with an ordinand, a home group leader who for years was cheating on his wife while leading the Bible study week by week, the fall of televangelists, the disappointment of the pain of church splits. And actually, all of those are actual instances and not just vague examples. Christians are essentially good people, but they so often do wrong things. And as Christians, we ourselves are sometimes a source of disappointment to others who say, "Call yourself a Christian." And of course, we're also disappointment to ourselves sometimes, and the wrong that we do, even if I may be the only one who knows. People sometimes say of themselves, "I'm not a very good Christian." And what does that mean? It means they are living in disappointment. I know what I should do, but sadly, I don't do it. And the truth is, we're all in the same boat. It's what St. Paul said in Romans 7: "The wrong that I don't want to do is exactly what I do. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I don't do, but what I hate I do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing." Paul experienced exactly the same problem that we all have. He wasn't a very good Christian. Actually, when you look at the various commentaries that there are that speak about Romans 7, you wonder actually how Paul can talk about himself in this way. John Stott writes that people have disagreed about who this I is that is unable to do the right thing. Apparently, the earliest Greek interpreters couldn't accept that this was Paul writing about himself, because how could he speak of himself as being sold as a slave to sin when just a little earlier in Romans 6 he's spoken about being a slave of righteousness? Augustine and the Western Church thought that it was Paul talking. Calvin thinks it speaks generally about the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. John Stott notices that the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned at all in chapter 7, but mentioned 21 times in chapter 8. And chapter 7 is full of the law. So he concludes that Paul is actually impersonating Christians who don't live under grace, but under the law without the Spirit's help. So make of it what you will. But it seems to me that Paul is actually acknowledging that he's in the situation that we're all in. And even though we try to be good Christians, actually, we don't manage it. Perhaps we should say, I'm a practicing Christian. The more I practice, possibly the better I get. So what can we say when good people do wrong things, when good Christians do wrong things? First thing is to say, good people? Question mark. Are there in fact any good people? Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 19, who is good but God alone? And even he wasn't claiming in that to be good. He was rather keeping it at a distance, although in fact he was totally good. And according to Paul himself, no one is good. He says, there is no good in me, in verse 18. And in Romans 3 verse 9 and verse 23, no one is righteous. All have sinned. That's Paul's perspective. Biblically and theologically, there are no good people. Okay, so no one is perfect. But anyway, what can you expect, we say? Lots of people are good, or at least good enough, until they do something bad. And there's the problem. So one answer to this question is, when good people do wrong things, the answer is, it's just a reminder to us of the fundamental fallen human nature which we all share. Indeed, no one is perfect. No one is good except God alone. That's actually why we have a confession at the beginning of almost all our services, because we're just acknowledging that basic fact. No one is good but God alone. But the second thing we can say is we need to talk about opposition. When people try to be good, in other words, when they try to go against that fallen human nature, they try to do the right thing, try to live the way God wants, then there is always opposition. It's what Paul calls in chapter 7, verse 22-23, a law working in me, working against me. The baptismal service calls it the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world which is going in a different non-God direction, and it's hard to go against the flow. The flesh, which is sinful human nature, which does not willingly and easily do God's will. And the devil, who is direct and vehement opposition to anything that God is doing. And we need to recognize the reality of spiritual warfare, especially as we take a public stand for Christ. And it's really interesting to me that this sermon has come this week when the Alpha course, both the Tuesday and the Thursday courses, have been dealing with how do we resist evil. And so this week we have been deliberately unmasking the devil. And it's not surprising that some people have been having a hard time. We wrestle against powers and principalities who do not want us to do good or to be good. The devil is real, personal, and active. He aims to make life difficult for you and for me as we try to follow Christ. Therefore, stand against him, fight him, and flee him. Fight or flight, but we mustn't fall into his hands. But do note that we actually cannot shift 100% of the responsibility onto the devil. In the final analysis, the buck does stop with me and with you. The responsibility for our actions is our own, because we choose. Mind you, he is giving a fair bit of opposition to us. The third thing we can talk about and should talk about is forgiveness. It is extended to all who fall and who repent, who recognize their fault and turn to Christ. And so at the end of the passage, Paul says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Verse 24. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgiveness and a new start in Jesus. If I fall, I can get up again because he reaches down and lifts me up. Forgiveness is always available any number of times for good Christians who fall, and indeed for everybody else. Forgiveness. Fourthly, we should talk about the inner power that is available for the inner struggle. And we'll see that in Romans 8 next week in particular. But just briefly, it is possible to do good and to be good. It is possible. The Holy Spirit sets us free and helps control and redirect our inner desires if we cooperate. And the best place to be, as I'm sure we'll see next week, is in a place of, well, three P's: praise and positivity and penitence. If we are living our lives in praise, as it says in Colossians 3:16, to do everything with praise to God, that will keep us in a place where the power of the Spirit is available. And if we live positively, seeking the things that are above where Christ is, then that will keep us open to the Spirit. And of course, if we live in penitence, if we walk in the light, if we recognize our sin and keep turning back to the Lord, as in 1 John 1, where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, then we will know the light of Christ. So the inner power is available if we live in that way. And we'll hear much more about that from Romans 8 next week. And lastly, let our focus be positive. Christians are clearly not perfect, and quite a number of things that are extraordinarily unhelpful for the gospel and the spread of the kingdom are done by people like you and me. But don't let the wrongdoing of sinful Christians negate the many good things that have been done and are done in Christ's name. Christianity, when it is lived out, is about practical love and selfless sacrifice. And there are heaps of wonderful examples. Mother Teresa, Francis of Assisi, Corrie ten Boom, David Wilkerson, Jackie Pullinger, Richard Vormbrandt, William Wilberforce, John Wesley, David and Heather Sharland, Miriam Knowles, people sitting right next to you, actually, maybe even you yourself. All of these, less than perfect, not totally good, but doing and having done so much real good in the world. Let's just remember that the next time we see good people doing bad things. And let's be gentle with ourselves too. Not perfect. We can make that prayer, "Please, Lord, be patient with me. I know you haven't finished with me just yet." We're going to respond to all of that by singing a final song, and then there will be opportunity for prayer ministry. The song that we're going to sing is that glorious one that says, "Freely you gave it all for us. Your grace is enough." Isn't that wonderful for Christians who know we do not very good things? Your grace is enough. Let's stand and sing it. If those guys who are outside want to come,